ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम ज्ञानतिनिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नाम श्रेष्ठं नन्दनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माधुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशम् प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगण रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ah, yeah, you can put this away. How to be a great kirtan leader. There are several famous kirtan leaders in ISKCON. That's good, isn't it? And we see that many grown-up youth or young adults or even middle-aged adults who were raised by devotee parents are really into kirtan. So that's good, isn't it? So I'm going to talk about how to be a great kirtan leader. We have the great kirtan leaders, those who are the crowd pullers of kirtan melas, the ones whose kirtan everyone wants to be there when they are singing. When they sit to sing, recording devices are placed all around them and people videograph them. Their kirtans are big hits on YouTube. So I'm going to give advice whereby everyone can become a great kirtan leader. So if you want to be a great kirtan leader, listen on. Who am I to advise about this? I'm not a great kirtan leader. Of course, I'm not trying to advise my exalted godbrothers who truly are great kirtan leaders. But others may listen in. Listen in, listen on. So this is the advice, how to be a great kirtan leader. It's not about taking musical training or about posture, practicing, modulating the voice. Nothing to do with that. Here's the advice. Before leading any kirtan, especially in a kirtan mela, where you're going to be the center of attention, follow the full morning program that Srila Prabhupada gave for at least a month. Read Srila Prabhupada's books daily. And of course, 16 rounds and four regulated principles. Don't even think of leading a kirtan unless you're chanting 16 rounds and following four regulated principles. During the kirtan mela, when you're not singing in kirtan, you could do some other service such as prasadam distribution, or even better, some kind of service that won't get seen, such as cutting vegetables, washing pots, cleaning up after prasadam. How does that help? Does it improve your voice to cut vegetables? Or your madanga skills? No. Couldn't you do better to spend time practicing, playing the mridanga or modulating the voice? Well, service to Krishna improves the condition of the heart. Now, kirtan is also a service to Krishna, but not necessarily what we call kirtan. It's not necessarily kirtan. Kirtan means glorification of Krishna. If a person who is singing is conscious that others are appreciating me, and they appreciate being appreciated, and they even subtly desire glorification, then that's not going to be very pleasing to Krishna. That's a contamination. Kirtan ultimately has nothing to do with the voice or musical ability. Kirtan is a matter of the heart, if we want to please Krishna. Of course, it's still best that devotees lead kirtan who have at least somewhat musical sense. They can play in time, their voice is not cracked or off key or just otherwise unpleasant. It's just like someone who doesn't know how to cook. They may have a lot of feeling for Krishna and want to cook, but they should take some training and actually be competent to cook for Krishna and for the devotees. So in the same way, it's better in some ways that devotees who can lead a kirtan and have at least some basic musical, it's not really ability, but just we could say those who are not tone deaf or who are just a complete disaster if they try to lead a kirtan. They can't even play 1, 2, 3 in kartals when they're leading the kirtan, things like that. They don't have any sense of rhythm or melody. So those who have musical skills, good. Yeah, use it in Krishna's service. If Krishna's gifted you with a beautiful voice, then sing for Krishna. Wonderful, do it. But at the same time, we should always remember, which we will do if we regularly read Srila Prabhupada's books, because he quotes this verse that I'm going to state now. He quotes this verse repeatedly. It's really the key to developing love of Krishna, the key to glorifying Krishna. Atashi Krishna namadi nabhaved grahyam indriyai sivam mukhehi jivado swayam eva spurati adaha. The name, form, qualities, pastimes, and all the transcendental attributes of Krishna cannot be appreciated by the mundane senses. But when one's consciousness is purified by the attitude of wanting to serve Krishna, and that service begins with the tongue, which begins with chanting and taking prasadam and speaking about Krishna. When the consciousness is thus purified, then Krishna is pleased to reveal himself to such a devotee. So, kirtan, yeah, kirtan's a beginning. We can engage in kirtan. We should engage in kirtan. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to lead the kirtan. It's not good if someone likes to be in a kirtan only when they lead it. They should come participate in others. But the real thing is to be sevan mukh, means inclined to serve. So everyone is invited to join the kirtan of the devotees, but advancement really starts when the kirtan is mixed with shravan. There's shravan first, so one should hear that I am an eternal servant of Krishna and imbibe the deep mood of service to Krishna. Otherwise, without hearing that, even Mayavadis and Prakriti Sahajiyas, they also chant the holy names, but they don't make proper advancement. Actually, in some ways, to be a kirtaniya, or someone who does kirtan, and especially a lead singer, it's a difficult service. That term lead singer, that's there in rock groups. The lead singer is the one who's the most prestigious in the rock group, at least as far as I remember. It's a long time since I had anything to do with rock groups. But the lead singer, it's prestigious. All the musics, it's practically a backup for the lead singer. So it's a difficult service, just like to be a lead singer in a kirtan group is difficult, in as much as difficult to be a guru or a sannyasi. It's, in some ways, it's easy to do it, but to do it properly is not easy. To do it in a way that you are exalted or looked up to by others, but at the same time the consciousness is that I'm simply a servant of everyone here. So it's a bit paradoxical, because one has to take the position of being the center of attention, and at the same time considering that one is lower than the lowest. One has to be selfless to actually benefit others. But what happens, why people, materialistic people, want to be the center of attention is to boost their own ego, to be famous. So famous kirtaniyas, they do become famous within this group of devotees. They become adulated to some extent. People like to hear them. And that's understandable if there's a large group of people who are all centered on you and following you. But the trick is that one has to think, I'm simply a servant. Krishna's given me this service, and I have to direct everyone's attention to Krishna. That's why Srila Prabhupada was such a great guru, because he saw all attention centered on him, and he directed it all to Krishna in a most faithful way, completely following the guru parampara. And he totally rejected any attempt to try to adulate him to be on the level of Krishna directly. That analogy of the rock stars, sometimes in the kirtan melas, they may be introduced like this. And now so and so, he blah 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 blah, give an introduction, and it seems to me something like introducing a rock star. But we should be very, very careful, because adulation can kill bhakti. Egoism, personal egoism, and bhakti don't go together at all. If there's any personal egoism, then there cannot be bhakti. If when you're chanting, if there's any thought, how much do the people like it? How much are they appreciating me? If there's any thought like that, or when you see someone else singing and they're singing very nicely and everyone's centered on them, and you feel any tinge of envy in your heart, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. The clear understanding has to be there that we are here to serve. Otherwise, if we don't have this clear understanding, this understanding of Siddhanta, Bhakti Siddhanta, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it said, Bhakti Siddhanta Virudha Arasa Bhas Shunile Nahoi Prabhu Chitte Ulash. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not become happy if there was any statement against the proper occlusion of devotional service or any improper mixing of mellows. Some complex topics. But the point is, if we don't understand the Bhakti Siddhanta, that we are all eternal servants of Krishna, we're here to serve, and really internalize that, then if we take kirtan to be something for us to enjoy, then we talk about, and this is going on, we talk about famous ISKCON kirtaniyas and this lecher who's called himself Krishna Das, who's offensive Mayavadi openly says, I don't believe in any person Krishna, but he chants Hare Krishna. And lecha means he has loose association with women. That adulation he gets becomes for him a means to catch women. So if we don't understand that such a low class person as this is not a kirtaniya, conventionally he may be called, just like someone who's born in a Brahmin family, he might be having sex with other people's wives and engaging in the most abominable behavior. Conventionally, he may still be called a Brahmin. So someone who sings the names of Krishna, they may conventionally be called a kirtaniya. But a real kirtaniya is one who is pure in heart and minimally pure in practice. That's why I say you have to chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulated principles, and really make one's life a life of anyabhilashita shunyam, aiming at having no other desire. It's not that we can become completely desireless overnight, but our aim in life should be clearly to be free from any desire other than with every breath, with every word, with every action, with every thought, simply to please Krishna. Everything for Krishna. So we should be careful. Shuddhanam. We should chant Shuddhanam. We should aim at chanting the holy name purely. And this was very much promoted by Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur on the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And many people in Bengal asked, what are you talking about? The holy name is pure. Where's the question of chanting the name impurely? Well, in this regard, there are warnings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he published the Prema Vivarta of Jagadananda Pandit, in which it is stated, Ashadu Shonga Bhai, Krishna Nam Nahi Hoi, Krishna Nam Bahire Bhate Tobu Nam Kobu Noi, which means that if one is not chanting in the association of pure devotees means, in this context, people who are seriously and sincerely endeavoring to please Krishna according to the methods given by the previous acharyas, that kind of chanting with all kinds of hodgepodge people with hodgepodge motives, Ashadu Shange, we don't get that it's not the name of Krishna, even though the sound Krishna may be produced in the ear ether, but Krishna doesn't have to be present there. Just like if someone, some sinful and offensive person, has a deity of Krishna, then they mistreat that deity, or maybe they think I am Krishna, and Krishna doesn't have to manifest in such a deity. So there are a few warnings here. I'm reading from Srila Prabhupada's books. Here's from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 8, text 83. The quotes I'm reading are actually from they're given by Srila Prabhupada, but they're from Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur's Anubhasha to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anubhasha means commentary on a commentary. Because prior to that, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave his Amrita Pravaha Bhasha on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here is written, one should not make a livelihood by forming a professional band to carry out congregational chanting. And then in Madhya Lila chapter 19, text 160, one may also try to carry out a professional business by means of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Now, does this apply to us? professional. We don't have professional bands, but maybe it just happens like that because devotees who are popular in chanting, they get called here and there all over the world, and they don't have any time to do anything but chanting, and they need to get some income, and they get given some money, and we're on the way to having professional kirtaniyas who they chant in a way which is pleasing. We don't find out when we call kirtaniyas and pay them to fly them in to our kirtan mela. We don't think, well, who's got the purest heart, and fly them in. It's of course difficult to ascertain who's got the purest heart. But we may not even think, do they rise early every morning? Do they follow the four regular principles strictly? Do they chant 16 rounds every morning? Are they free from mayavad and sahajya contaminations? What do they say? What are their activities? Are they involved in sense gratification? Do they only take Krishna prasad strictly? We should see. If not, we may be maybe inadvertently making professional kirtan groups in direct violation of Srila Prabhupada's warnings. Maybe I got the wrong references here. Anyway, here's another reference from Srila Prabhupada's book. This is what I'm going to read now is from my own book, Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, but it's culled from so many other sources. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, and he's recorded as having said, persons who lack taste for the holy names or devotional service are attached to melodious tunes and musical performances as entertainment for their senses. We can dispel listlessness and all other anartas by loudly and faithfully performing kirtan of the Maha Mantra in the association of pure devotees. Members of the Tal Toka Sampradaya, who are simply interested in rhythm and other musical attributes, are utterly entangled in profit, adoration, and distinction. Pure devotees always distance themselves from such pretenders and instead worship the holy name by full absorption in Sankirtan. Bhagavan, who is addressed through his holy names by such faithful devotees, manifests to them his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes. Love of Krishna develops only in the heart of persons who chant in that way. Now, just a little clarification here. Tal Toka Sampradaya. What does that mean? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is sarcastically referring to musicians who they take pleasure in the music, and it is a great pleasure. When there is pleasure if someone's an expert musician and then you see musicians sitting together, someone's playing the sitar or the sitar, someone's playing pakwaj or tabla, and they practice together, they get a synergy between them, and they go out spontaneously and they interact with each other. And I don't know the mantras for the bulls. You see, and they're really enjoying themselves, and it's some kind of bliss. And others can enjoy it too if they're expert musicians. But it's not spiritual unless it's done for Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is making the point that if we are more attracted, or if the attraction to the music is a great part of our attraction, then it's not really spiritual at all. Now this quotation that I just read says that persons who lack taste for the holy names, but we're talking about kirtaniyas, who they sit and chant Hare Krishna for hours on end. So how can we say they have lack of taste for... that can't refer to such persons. Okay, let's just think about this. Who is more advanced or better situated? Someone who can do kirtan for hours on end, or maybe cooking for hours on end, but only sometimes. And only likes to do that. That I'll do kirtan, I like to do kirtan. I won't do anything else, only kirtan. Or I'll just cook on a festival, but I won't come early in the morning to cook the deity's offering, or I won't cook the sweets at night for the deity. When there's a big festival, I'll go there and cook. So they do a great service and cook for 2,000 people. But they won't. The quiet devotee who comes every day early in the morning and cooks the Lord's offering, they may not be seen as doing such a big service. So similarly, someone may do kirtan in a big assembly. Do they chant 16 rounds? Do they get up early in the morning for Mangalarti kirtan? Does anyone in kirtan mailers, do they even have Mangalarti? Well, there may be someone who doesn't sit for 6 hours doing kirtan or whatever. But they do the prescribed kirtan as Srila Prabhupada has given. Morning program, evening program if they're not out or preaching or doing some other service. And they're fully engaged in service all the time. Whatever service they're asked. It would seem that neither is highly advanced. One is does a lot of kirtan but doesn't like to do any other kind of service. And there are such devotees. And there are some who, they don't appear to be that much into kirtan, but they like the people who are really into it at the kirtan melas. But they do daily kirtan in the temples or in their home, and they do daily service. But someone who appears to have nam ruchi, taste for holy names, but only on their own terms and conditions, that's not really bhakti, that's not really surrender. His ruchi comes not from surrender. If someone only likes to, is only seen leading kirtanis when there's a big group, but doesn't daily perform, doesn't chant the holy names, that means his ruchi for the holy name, it's not coming from surrender to the holy name or surrender to Krishna's service. It's coming from something else. Maybe musical ability and fascination or adoration. So a devotee who's doing service regularly, quietly, they're actually better situated than someone who they'll do kirtan for hours and hours and hours on one day, and then you won't see them doing any kind of devotional service, including kirtan, on any day, for days and days afterwards. So, what is nama ruchi? That Srila Prabhupada actually stated that if one is purified by following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's orders, that is by chanting the holy name of Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, right? To chant the holy name of Krishna, then one must certainly be eager to render service to the Lord. This is the test. When one engages enthusiastically in the Lord's service, it is to be understood that he is reaping the results of chanting the names of Krishna and Hari. So when they say, well, chanting is also service, yeah, but it's not the only service. There are so many services to do in Krishna's service. So these quotes, they may be applicable to us. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. I'm just saying that if the shoe fits, then wear it. If we're in this situation, and it is. It's quite possible we could get in this situation. Then we have to be very careful of that. Because it's not that we're impervious to such possibilities. Here's something that I wrote. There's a great danger for devotees that fascination with the musical aspects of kirtan overshadows their attachment for the holy names. Although they have much taste for chanting, they remain kanishta adhikaris and do not make tangible spiritual progress because of their subtle attachment to personal pleasure in kirtan, which may be unknown to themselves and to others. That they don't know that, because it's so subtle, that their attachment is to the anarta and not to the anarta of wanting to enjoy the kirtan on a musical level, or wanting to enjoy the adulation of others, or the praise that comes. So others may not notice that, and the person themselves may not notice it, but it contaminates the whole Vaishnava society through the medium of blissful kirtan. People think it's blissful kirtan. They think a blissful kirtan is something you go to, some kirtan mela, or when someone is leading some kirtan who's really blissful, and then we like to join, but we don't like to join otherwise. And because we feel some happiness, some bliss in such a kirtan, it's almost impossible to communicate to the participants in such kirtans that that the joy that they experience is not necessarily on the fully spiritual platform. It's mixed up. And there's a whole section in that Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava of how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he detected this. And he stood against that, the whole attitude that we will be, if we are happy by doing kirtan, that means it's a good kirtan. And sometimes we see, apart from the subtle contaminations which might be there, which are dangerous, sometimes it gets somewhat gross also. You see some kirtan, some of the kirtans, the men with playing madonga with big muscles and some of the tattoos, and young girls dancing in such a way that, how to put it, let's say that it might not be the most chaste way, sexual overtones, to be frank. And we see, it is, can be there. And of course, kirtan, yeah? Do kirtan, great, do kirtan. And somehow people are chanting, you could say, it's better than nothing, don't get on the case of others, but the same, I really don't want to discourage, but at the same time, we have to encourage the spirit, or not just encourage, we have to maintain the spirit of anyabhilashita shunya bhakti, devotional service performed only for the pleasure of Krishna. Otherwise, the whole of ISKCON will go to hell. That's where we go. That's where we go to hell if we don't have the spirit of selfless service to Krishna. That's in Bhagavad Gita, the Trividham Narakasya Idam Dwaram Nashanam Atmanaha Kama Krodhas Tata Lopas Tasmat Etat Trayam Tyajet. There are three gates to hell: lust, greed, and anger. So they should be given up. But if we don't have a spirit of full surrender to Krishna, then we're going to be cultivating these three things. And then the question of offense comes in. Of course, no one's completely pure, and kirtan is purifying, cheta darpana marjanam, but it's purifying if it's accompanied by proper hearing and proper association. Otherwise, Bahujanna jagi kare shavan kirtan tabutana pai Krishna pade prema dandi. The warning is there that if we're offensive in our hearing and chanting, even we may not know or be grossly offensive. And no one says, everyone thinks it's great. No one's pointing out there seems to be something wrong here. Then it can be all off direction. You can get to the point, just like I've seen in Bangladesh, the kirtan melas, nam jagyas, they're called there. The people, they have professional groups. This is what Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur was warning against. After their gig, which might be 2 hours or so, they go off and then immediately they smoke a bidi. For them it's a long time to go, 2 hours without a bidi. So, for all, and they have to show while they're chanting a lot of verve and emotion, otherwise they're an entertainment group, and they won't get called unless they put on a good show. So they have to put on a good show, but toward the end of the gig, they're thinking of their bidi. And I've seen sometimes that the next group is late, often they're late coming on because they have to dress up with fancy dress and put bells on their feet and all this kind of thing. Check their mridangas are properly tuned and everything. So they're often late coming on, and they just want to squeeze in one last bidi before they come on. And you'll find the group who goes overtime because they can't stop, they have to keep on going. Then they're going with full jumping, and when their time's up, because they don't look at the watch, they didn't have watches in those days. I was the only one when I was in the villages in Bangladesh in 1980s, who hadn't seen a watch. So when their time's up, then they'll just do it, Hare Krishna, just perfunctorily, because their time's up, they did what they're paid for, and they don't get overtime. So, and then you can see they're getting angry, why is this other group not coming? So it can come to that. I've also seen people jumping up and down in ecstasy, apparently, chanting some kirtan names, Aisanahikan, names of some completely bogus imagined avatar. So it looks like it's ecstasy, but how can it be? It's not spiritual ecstasy, because it's totally bogus. In Bangladesh, there's so many bogus avatars all over the place. So people, it seems like ecstasy, but it cannot be, because it's not Shuti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vithing, Vina, Aikantiki, Hare, Bhaktya, Utpate, Vakalpate. If it's not properly following the standard scriptures, then such so-called devotional service is simply a disturbance, and that's why Bhaktisthan says we have to fight against all this, because they're just creating a disturbance in the proper understanding of bhakti. So Bhakti's Vinod Thakur, he told Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur, you must preach Shuddhanama. Two things he told him. Two main services he gave to Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur. You preach Shuddhanama, the pure chanting of the holy names. You have to distinguish between what's going on in the name of bhakti and what is real, actual Shuddhanama, pure chanting of the holy names. And he also told him to establish Daiva Varnashram Dharma. So we should follow that, and don't mind if I've pricked anyone's sensibilities. Some things need to be said, even though it might not be pleasant to say Hare Krishna. And that's all I'll say now, and tomorrow I'm planning to speak something more about this, some advice for persons who are organizing kirtan melas. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukaro na bayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasamadira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama. Dantini dhaya chunakang padayani patya. Kritvacha kakushatameta dahang bravini. Hey sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kuritanuragam mancha kalpaturubhyas chakripa sindhubhya vichapaditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.